O God, the Father, creator of heaven and earth,
have mercy on us.
O God, the Son, redeemer of the world,
have mercy upon us.
O God, the Holy Ghost, sanctifier of the faithful,
have mercy upon us.
O Holy, Blessed, and Glorious Trinity, one God,
have mercy upon us.
Remember not our sins, Lord Christ, our offenses, nor the offenses of our forefathers. Neither reward us according to our sins. Spare us, good Lord, spare thy people whom thou hast redeemed with thy most precious blood, and by thy mercy preserve us forever.
Spare us, good Lord,
from all the evil and wickedness, from sin, and from the crafts and assaults of the devil, and from everlasting damnation.
Good Lord, deliver us
from all blindness of heart, from pride, vainglory, and hypocrisy, from envy, hatred, and malice, and from all want of charity.
Good Lord, deliver us
from all inordinate and sinful affections, and from all the deceits of the world and flesh and the devil.
Good Lord, deliver us
from all false doctrines, heresy, and schism, from hardness of heart and contempt of thy word and commandment.
Good Lord, deliver us
from lightning and tempest, from earthquake, fire, and flood, from plague, pestilence, and famine.
Good Lord, deliver us
from all oppression, conspiracy, and rebellion, from violence, battle, and murder, and from dying suddenly and unprepared.
Good Lord, deliver us
by the mystery of thy holy incarnation, of thy holy nativity, in submission to thy law, by thy baptism, fasting, and temptation.
Good Lord, deliver us
by thine agony and bloody sweat, by thy cross and passion, by thy precious death and burial, by thy glorious resurrection and ascension, and by thy coming of the Holy Ghost.
Good Lord, deliver us
in all time of our tribulation, in all time of our prosperity, in the hour of death, and in the day of judgment.
Good Lord, deliver us.
We sinners do beseech you to hear us, O Lord God, and that it may please thee to rule and govern thy holy church universal in the right way.
We beseech thee to hear us, good Lord.
That it may please thee to illumine all bishops, priests, and deacons with true knowledge and understanding of thy word, and that doth by their preaching and living they may set it forth and show it accordingly.
We beseech thee to hear us, good Lord.
That it may please thee to bless and keep all thy people.
We beseech thee to hear us, good Lord.
That it may please thee to send forth laborers into thy harvest, and to draw all mankind into thy kingdom.
We beseech thee to hear us, good Lord.
That it may please thee to give to all people increase of grace to hear and receive thy word, and to bring forth the fruits of the Spirit.
We beseech thee to hear us, good Lord.
That it may please thee to bring into the way of truth all such as have erred and are deceived.
We beseech thee to hear us, good Lord.
That it may please thee to give us a heart to love and fear thee, and diligently to live after thy commandments.
We beseech thee to hear us, good Lord.
That it may please thee so to rule the hearts of thy servants, the President of the United States, and all others in authority, that they may do justice and love mercy and walk in the ways of truth.
We beseech thee to hear us, good Lord.
That it may please thee to make wars to cease in all the world, and to give all nations unity, peace, and concord, and to bestow freedom upon all peoples.
We beseech thee to hear us, good Lord.
That it may please thee to show the pity upon all prisoners and captives, the homeless and the hungry, and all who are desolate and oppressed.
We beseech thee to hear us, good Lord.
That it may please thee to give and preserve to our use the bountiful fruits of the earth, so that in due time all may enjoy them.
We beseech thee to hear us, good Lord.
That it may please thee to inspire us in our several callings to do the work which thou givest us to do with singleness of heart by thy servants and for the common good.
We beseech thee to hear us, good Lord.
That it may please thee to preserve all who are in danger by reason of their labor or their travel.
We beseech thee to hear us, good Lord.
That it may please thee to preserve and provide for all women in childbirth, young children and orphans, the widowed, and all those
whose homes are broken or torn by strife.
We beseech thee to hear us, good Lord.
That it may please thee to visit the lonely, to strengthen all who suffer in mind, body, and spirit, and to comfort with thy presence those who are failing and infirmed.
We beseech thee to hear us, good Lord.
That it may please thee to support, help, and comfort all who are in danger, necessity, and tribulation.
We beseech thee to hear us, good Lord.
That it may please thee to have mercy upon all humankind.
We beseech thee to hear us, good Lord.
That it may please thee to give us true repentance, to forgive us all our sins, negligences, and arrogances, and to endue us with the grace of thy Holy Spirit to amend our lives according to thy word.
We beseech thee to hear us, good Lord.
That it may please thee to forgive our enemies, persecutors, and slanderers, and to turn their hearts.
We beseech thee to hear us, good Lord.
That it may please thee to strengthen such as do stand, to comfort and help the weak-hearted, to raise up those who fall, and finally, to beat down Satan under our feet.
We beseech thee to hear us, good Lord.
That it may please thee to grant to all the faithful departed eternal life and peace.
We beseech thee to hear us, good Lord.
That it may please thee to grant that in the fellowship of Jude Thaddeus and of all the saints, we may attain to thy heavenly kingdom.
We beseech thee to hear us, good Lord.
Son of God, we beseech thee to hear us.
Son of God, we beseech thee to hear us.
O Lamb of God, that takest away the sins of the world. O Lamb of God, that takest away the sins of the world.
Have mercy upon us.
O Lamb of God, that takest away the sins of the world.
Grant us thy peace.
O Christ, hear us.
O Christ, hear us.
Lord, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. Bless the Lord who forgives all our sins.
His mercy endures forever. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, whose blessed Son was led by the Spirit to be tempted by Satan, come quickly to help us who are assaulted by many temptations. And as you know the weaknesses of each of us, let each one find you mighty to save. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated.
A reading from Genesis. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to till it and keep it. The Lord God commanded of the man, "You are free. You may freely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall die." Now the serpent was more crafty than any wild animal of the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God say, 'You shall not eat from any tree in the garden?'" The woman said of the serpent, "We may eat the fruit of the trees in the garden. But God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden, nor shall you touch it, or you shall die.'" But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not die, for God knows when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make you wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave it to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made loincloths for themselves. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Happy are they whose transgressions are forgiven and whose sin is put away.
Happy are they to whom the Lord imputes no guilt, and in whose spirit there is no guile.
While I held my tongue, my bones withered away because of my groaning all day long.
For your hand was heavy upon me day and night. My moisture was dried up as in the heat of summer.
Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not conceal my guilt.
I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. Then you forgave me the guilt of my sin.
Therefore, all the faithful will make their prayers to you in time of trouble. When the great waters overflow, they shall not reach them.
You are my hiding place. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance.
I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will guide you with my eye.
Do not be like horse or mule, which have no understanding, who must be fitted with bit and bridle, or else they will not stay near you.
Great are the tribulations of the wicked, but mercy embraces those who trust in the Lord.
Be glad, you righteous, and rejoice in the Lord. Shout for joy, all who are true of heart.
A reading from Paul's letter to the Romans. As sin came into the world through one man, and death came through sin, and so death spread to all, because all have sinned. Sin was indeed in the world before the law, but sin is not reckoned when there is no law. Your death exercised dominion, domination from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sins were not like the transgression of Adam, who is a type of one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died through one man's trespass, much more surely have the grace of God and the free gift in the grace of one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for the many. And the free gift is not like the effect of one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation. But the free gift following many trespasses brings justification. Because of the one man's trespass, death exercised domination through that one. Much more surely will those who received the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness exercise domination through life, through one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one man's trespass led to condemnation for all, so one man's act of righteousness leads to the justification and life for all. For just as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
After Jesus was baptized, he was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But Jesus answered, "It is written, 'One does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands he will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone.'" Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Again, the devil took him to the very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. He said to him, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan. It is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve only him.'" Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Satan said, "Look at these and all their splendor. I will give it to you if you just fall down and worship me." Jesus said, "Away with you, Satan. Worship the Lord your God. Serve only him. I speak in the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen." It's Lent. No more of the A word that we all love, especially Kelly. On Ash Wednesday that morning at 7:30 a.m., ashes were placed on a few of our foreheads over at St. Alban's. Simon saw the ashes, and Simon has this thing. So when he was little, we would sing him the doxology: "Praise God from whom all blessings flow." And so you get to the end of that, and there's this, which Andy always reminds us. There's a amen, right? So we'd sing that to him, and so that was like one of his first 20 words was amen, and he says it like a homeboy, like, "Oh man," you know. And so that's been one of his words. And now every time, he even has a superlative at school. There's a little board with all the little kids at preschool, and they all have different things that they're famous for. And Simon's is leads everybody in the blessing every day, because he says this amen every time he sees a cross. Amen, amen. And now that word has taken on all kinds of different meanings. I think anytime he wants something that he can't have, amen, he thinks gets a response out of us about it. But he has this other little thing that he does now where if he sees a sore on somebody or a pimple on me or a cut or something dirty or a hole in a shirt or something like that, he'll go, "Uh-oh," but then he'll follow it up with, "Oh, no," because those two go together, right? So he saw this ash cross on our foreheads, and he goes, "Amen," and then he goes, "Uh-oh, oh, no," right? Which was a way better sermon than I preached on Ash Wednesday, turns out, right? Kind of stated the mystery of the season of Lent, which is how is it that we follow Jesus to a cross, to an agonizing death? I mean, Jane and Russ put these pictures up, right? These stations around our sanctuary for Lent. This is our journey. This is our place, our destination, right? And somehow it's glory. And the mystery of Lent is figuring out how that works in our own lives. When I was a young priest, many, many, many years ago, I got hired out at St. Timothy's. And I was there, and one of the things that I encountered right up front, right off the bat, was that there was this weird conflict between adults there at St. Timothy's. It, specifically, parents, our mothers, and the conflict had to do with when we were going to do Sunday school. And the priest, the rector, was an interim rector. He was like a part-time interim rector. And so I was coming in And he says, I need you to handle this situation. All right. So, I'd read about conflict in seminary. Conflict's good, it says. And then you throw all that out the window and you have these conversations with folks, right? And so the conflict broke down this way. So there were some parents, usually, mostly the older parents and grandparents, who were committed to doing a dedicated Sunday school hour and then worship. Because that's how they grew up. That's what we do. We have a dedicated Sunday school hour. Kids bring their kids. Our parents bring their kids to Sunday school, and then they pick them up and they go to church. And that's how that works, right? And then the younger parents, they wanted Sunday school during worship, right, so that they could show up and drop their kids off at Sunday school and then go to worship themselves and pick their kids up afterwards, right? And it was a fight, and all this weird stuff was coming out. Like, the older parents were like, this is just lazy parenting, and the younger parents, you have no idea what it's like to be a parent these days, and those kind of things sort of flying back and forth at each other, right? And then you're in the middle of it. And so what do? You kind of have a conversation around this stuff, and several of the younger parents were particularly put off by this curriculum called Godly Play that they had been using at St. Timothy's, which can be very draconian if it's done and it's very strict. Like, there's literally, I'm not kidding, there's a shepherd at the door, there's this person at the door, and as you come in, he or she asks, are you ready to come into this room? And you got to answer yes. So you can think, if a new parent, you're dropping your kid off, are you ready to come into this room? So, maybe I should stand out in the door. Are you ready to come into the room? D says no. Not do that, right? And so there was this fight, and so we're trying to have a conversation about how to fix this thing. And what we did was we solved that in the best possible way, is by saying we'll do both. We're gonna have dedicated Sunday school hour, and we're gonna have children's chapel, which is like Sunday school, and Wiggle Church too for the little kids. It's gonna be great. And so what happened was you had parents who brought their kids only to Sunday school, and then they went to church, and you had parents who only brought their kids to children's chapel, and then you had people who did both those things, and it seemed to be working great, right? But St. Timothy's has this tradition at Advent. They start making these figurines out of Pastor Paris. Am I saying that right? Pastor of Paris? It's Plaster of Paris. No, Pastor of Paris. Plaster of Paris. Plaster Paris. PP. So you have these little molds and all this equipment and stuff to make this stuff with. And it was the Nativity creche. So there were 12 figurines. Like the little sheep and the shepherd and the wise people and all Mary and Joseph and the baby, the whole nine yards. And there were 12 of them. And each year that you were in the program, you made yourself a little figurine. So all the kindergartners or first graders made their thing, and then the second graders made their thing. And then by the time you got to the end of it, you had a 12-piece creche. And if you came late, like if you came in the fifth grade, they would catch you up, you know. And the parents loved it. The kids could care less. Parents thought it was the greatest thing ever, right? And so we're coming towards Advent, and there's this conversation. We've brokered this deal. We've got Sunday school before church. We've got Sunday school during church. Things seem to be going fine. And then we're coming close to Advent when we would do this thing with the figurines. And I went to get the materials and have a conversation with the two groups, and somebody had broken into the supply closet and taken all the materials home. And that's when I got a therapist. Because it was like, oh my gosh, what is going on here? Hi. So I remember asking my therapist about this, and he says, Robert, why do you think people have spiritually, or why do people go to church? And I said, people go to church so they can have spiritual experiences. And he said, yeah, you're probably wrong about that. And I said, well, he goes, if you think about it, people probably go to church so they don't have to have spiritual experiences. think about what a spiritual experience is, right? A spiritual experience is a time when people have something really uncomfortable happen to them. And then they have to figure out how God is going to show up in their lives around that. And learn to trust God around God showing up in that difficult time. Those are true spiritual experiences. People go to church to fall back on the ideas that they have about who God is and what God is and that God wants happy and that's it. Which I think is a very caustic way of thinking about why people go to church. But I think what he was trying to get across was that my job was about helping people navigate those tough experiences also with the joyful experience, right? Finding a balance on the two, right? And so we eventually, just to make that story come full circle, we found the lady who took all that stuff home. And I won't tell you which group she was in. But we convinced them to bring it back, and everybody got to do the little plaster of Paris dealios. Let them run around, they say. Okay. Until he knocks over the candles and everything. Okay. So this is where you need to get out your pad and your pens, because I'm going to say some heretical things that you can write to the bishop. So what those parents were up against at St. Timothy's was this notion that our tradition and the Bible and Christianity in general offers one singular truth that everybody can get on board with. And if everybody gets on board with that truth, then their lives will be okay. And everything will be fine. And that's all they need to do. And the problem with thinking that way is that it doesn't work. It doesn't work. Our lives do not work that way. Because we come up against some deprivation, some failure, some letdown, some loss, some death, some deep, deep sadness, right? And we have a church that tells us, if you just believe this, everything's fine. And we have a world that tells us, if you're not happy all the time, something's wrong with you, here's a drug for you, right? That's what we're navigating as human beings. And so when these parents came up against this situation, the conflict was about when we should do Sunday school, but under that, the conflict was really about the anxiety that we all bear, that we have to pass along the true message to our kids in the right way, so that at the end of the day, they can be happy, right? They can be happy. But Lent blows all that up. And this is why you should feel blessed to be a part of a liturgical tradition, because a lot of traditions out there just skip right over this. It's like, how fast can we get to Easter? How fast can we get to Christmas, right? How fast can we blow past these uncomfortable seasons and get right to the good part, right? But Lent does not allow us to do that. It slows us way down. It makes us wonder about what's in these images out here, right? And how they relate to our own lives. What happens to Jesus and Matthew is that Jesus gets baptized by John, and Matthew is like trying to say, look, Jesus is the new Moses, right? And so the way that this works is that Jesus parts those waters just like Moses parted those waters and moves into the wilderness time, just like the people of Israel moved into the wilderness time. And when the people were confronted with temptations in the wilderness time, you all know the story of what they did, right? Temptation was about destruction. Temptation was about making the choices that brought destruction upon them. And there was all kinds of destruction. The golden calf brought destruction. The complaining brought destruction. The worshiping of other gods brought the snakes that brought destruction. The choices to let go of our identity as people who belong to God led to destruction. So our scripture today gave us Genesis, Romans, and Matthew, right? And in seminary they told you, don't deal with all three. Don't deal with all three. Just pick one and deal with that one. And to seminary, I say, hold my beer. Here we go. So in Genesis, right, we get this creation myth in which God has created a balance out of chaos, a balance out of chaos. And he has put human beings into that balance. And he has given them a couple of rules. Those rules aren't there for their happiness. Their rules aren't there to be satiated all the time. The rules are there to maintain the balance that God has placed them in, right? This is the anthropic argument for God. This is the notion that the universe exploded and cooled in such a way that carbon life was possible. It is infinitely impossible for something like that to happen, and yet here we are together sitting in this room, right? It is a gift. It is a miracle. It is a blessing upon us, right? So, and if you talk to physicists about that, they'll say, well, there's a multiverse. There's millions and millions and millions and millions of universes sitting on top of each other, and it just so happened that in one of them, here we are. You know, that's a faith claim they're making, right? Just like we make faith claims about how we are here together, right? That we are provided with this balance out of this chaos. We look at the universe around us and we see it exploding and cooling and inhospitable for life, but here in this little tiny place, here we are given this miracle, right? And we get the message some point in our lives that the whole point of this is that we can be satiated all the time and happy. And if we're not satiated all the time and happy, then something is wrong with us, right? We need to seek out something, right? And I'm not saying that contentment and love and joy should not be a part of our lives. And I'm not saying that people are not in need of help around those sorts of things. But I do think that we live in a society that tells us if we're not happy all the time, something's wrong with us. And we believe, we often go to churches that tell us, well, if you just practice religion the right way, everything would be fine in your life. Just get over it, right? But we know that's not true. We experience it differently. And so when Satan comes to Jesus and says, satiation, I will give you food, right? When Satan comes to Jesus and says, I will give you all this political, I will give you power so that you will never have deprivation again, right? When he comes to Jesus and says, if you will just worship me, Jesus says back to Satan, here were the experiences of the people in the wilderness. He's quoting Deuteronomy, specifically three chapters, 6 through 8 in Deuteronomy, right? Where Moses and God said to the people, you can't have it this way, right? You've got to remember your identity as a person who belongs to me. That is your identity. That is who you are. That is what Matthew's Jesus quotes back to Satan in that moment, right? He remembers the tradition. He quotes back the tradition. Not to say, I'm not going to make the same mistakes that my forebears did in the wilderness. Instead to say, God showed up for my forebears in the wilderness. No matter what you say, Satan, I know that God is going to show up for me too. That's what makes me the Son of God. And the fact that I can be the Messiah is equivalent to the fact that I can trust that so deeply that I will sacrifice myself for humanity. All right? Which is probably something that's impossible for us. But this is the journey that we're on. Those people at those fighting parents at St. Timothy's, they had purchased, I'm not kidding here, and this is not hyperbolic, it's like $4,000 worth of godly plate materials was sitting in their basement, right? And they hadn't used them in years because of this big fight around godly play. And so they're like, you know, the priest was like, what are we going to do? We got all these materials. Should we go find another curriculum? I said, no. I said, let's call it God Stories. And let's take out all the draconians. There's not going to be a guy at the door saying, are you ready to come in here? So it's just straightforward sort of the basics of, and whoever created that, well, it's I know who created it, but the Montessori people are looking at me right now and thinking, oh, no, you got to have all that other stuff. Well, for this group of people in this time, it was important to just say, we're going to let go of that stuff and we're just going to do the basics, right? We're going to tell these stories. But there was left a little bit of conflict about people were mad at godly play because they felt like it was too repetitive, that every year you got the same stories. I'm like, what do I do about this? So I hired Kathleen Crevasse, she's fantastic. Children's minister up at Good Shepherd on Lookout Mountain. And I said, can you just come and train this group of parents and these group of teachers and talk to these parents about godly play and just have a conversation? And she said, yeah, do that. So we set aside a Saturday. Everybody got together. And we did workshops on godly play and had conversations about it. And different stories were told. And so... Kathleen has been talking about godly play for a couple hours at this point. And one of the parents raised their hand and goes, so, do we have to tell these same stories over and over and over again? And as a priest, you know, you hear a question like that. You've got the voice in the front of your head. This is a skill you learn in the priest. You got the voice in your front of the head and say, oh, that's a reasonable question. And then there's the voice that you don't let anybody hear in the back of your head. That is not a reasonable. Of course, we tell these stories over and over and over again, right? So you learn to get the two voices going. But Kathleen, she handled that as cool as a cucumber. She goes, you know, that's a really good question. She says, the reason we tell these stories over and over and over again is because someday your child is going to be in front of the Sea of Galilee, or the Red Sea, and the army of Egypt is going to be behind them. And they have to know in that moment, they need to know that God is going to part that sea for them. They need to know that. And then what do you say to that, right? It's like, and in that moment, you know, this group of people, I mean, they got it. They got it that this is about all that anxiety that they were bringing to the table about how is it as parents do we say, here's the truth so that our kids can live by that. And what Kathleen was telling them and what I'm trying to tell you now is that our Bible, our scripture, our religious tradition, it is a set of truths that we have to negotiate, right? It's not one truth all the time. It is a set of truth that we have to negotiate. And the reason we have to negotiate it is because our lives are complex and multifaceted, and scriptures is complex and multifaceted. And we will run up against situations where we have to forgive somebody or be gracious to somebody, where we have to let go of some resentment, where we have to accept some failure, where we have to deal with some kind of diagnosis, where we have to deal with some sort of end relationship. We will come into these death moments in our lives, and we have to know how to bring the tradition to bear on those moments, and it requires our ability to negotiate with the tradition, to say, this moment in Scripture, this time in the stories of God, this thing that this person told me when I was little about God, this comes to bear on this moment, so that when we are tempted, and today is about temptation, our scripture is about temptation, when we are tempted to act incorrectly out of our vulnerability, that is the moment where we have the trust to say that if I just act as a servant and someone who belongs to God, that God will bring this situation full circle and things will be okay, even if it means that I end up looking a little bit like some of the people in these pictures look, right? That this is what our tradition requires of us. And that's hard work. It's hard work. It's hard work not to win all the time, not to be successful all the time. This is why Joel Osteen is so fun, so rich. We can strike that from the record. But there are preachers out there who are making tons and tons of money off of telling people, if you just believe these things and say these things, everything's going to be okay with you. Give me $20, right? That's kind of how that works, right? But we know different. We know different. That this is not about believing in God for the hope that we will be satiated or taken care of or happy all the time. We believe in a God because we live in a world that is created for us, and we maintain that balance by choosing our belovedness over the temptations of sin. Amen. I invite you to stand. Friends, the peace of the Lord be always with you. God's peace. God's peace to you. Good morning, welcome, and a holy Lent to you. Sally's still peacing people. She's perpetually saying peace. She is the ambassador of peace and hospitality and goodness. Yeah. So pancakes were had, and then ashes were had here this past week, and I hope you got to participate in some of that. If you did not, there are more opportunities for a Holy Lent. One of them is that St. Paul's Episcopal Church downtown is in the midst of its, I want to say, 75th Thorn Spartman School of Religion anniversary. And so the way that works is there are a series of speakers, and you can find them at St. Paul's website. You can find them in our Pews News. If you decide you want to participate in one of those Wednesdays, you can register for that Wednesday, go and have some dinner, hear a speaker, engage in a conversation. It's a way to sort of expound upon your engagement with the religion here in Lent. Another opportunity is on Tuesday evenings. We will host Eucharist with the Penitential Order at 6:30 p.m. here on Tuesday evenings in Lent. One more opportunity is on Sunday mornings at 8:45 a.m. at St. Albans Episcopal Church. There is an Episcopal one-on-one class. So that class will run through Easter, and then it will move to St. Thaddeus after the 10:30 service and take on a new focus. But the first focus is just the basics of our faith. Dee is going to be teaching on and facilitating one of those discussions. There's a series of facilitators, but it's Episcopal one-on-one. So it's a discussion-style conversation about instruction about the basic tenets of our faith. Things like, what makes us different than Baptists? That's yours, by the way. Just kidding. And there's Old Testament, New Testament, and church history and theology and those sorts of things. So Sunday by Sunday at 8:45, starting at 8:45, it's coffee and conversation, and then at 9 o'clock, we get down to brass tacks, get down to business, 9 o'clock. So if you want to make that a part of your Lenten journey, then please do. And then Holy Week, there will be a lot of opportunities. The first week in April, there will be Holy Eucharist here on Palm Sunday, and then Monday, Thursday, Good Friday, and then a Holy Saturday. Easter morning, just to get way out ahead here, will be at 10:30 here, both churches together at St. Thaddeus on Sunday morning. There'll be a brunch at 9:15. So all those things are coming up for you to move into this Lenten discipline together and this Lenten mystery together. Walk in love as Christ. Does anybody have any announcements? I always forget that part. Okay. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us in an offering and a sacrifice to the Most High. You gotta go, Mama. Just go hang out with Mama.
Hear them, my God, our Savior.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who was tempted in every way that we are, but did not sin. By his grace we are able to triumph over every evil, and to live no longer for ourselves alone, but for him who died for us and rose again. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Holy and gracious Father, in your infinite love you made us for yourself. And when we had fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you in your mercy sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant. It is shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in the sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also, that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ, by him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Jesus, God, have mercy on us.
These are the gifts of God for you, the people of God. Come taste and see that God is good. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now to the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart through Christ our Lord. Amen. Friends, go forth into the world in peace and be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen those who are faint-hearted and support folks in need. And the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you this day and remain with you always. Amen. Now let us go forth rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit.